Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Welcome to Simply Scottish, 30 minutes of Scottish culture, history and music. I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for tuning in today. Our opening music is by Sketch, from a new album due out summer of 2015. The band is spearheading a new sound in Scottish folk music, which they call traditional music for the 21st century. On this episode, a look at the city of Dundee. We'll start with the three things Dundee was most known for in history: jute, jam and journalism, and add to that some discussion of the city's highlights today. This is the 55th episode of Simply Scottish as a podcast. From 1999 to 2001, it was a weekly one-hour radio show co-hosted with my father, Andrew McDermott Sr. Restarted in 2011, Simply Scottish is now enjoyed by people around the world thanks to the technology of the internet. From where are you listening? I'd love to hear from you. Drop me an email at andrew@simplyscottish.com. That's andrew@simplyscottish.com. This is also a good time to remind listeners that each edition of Simply Scottish I dedicate to my mother Samantha, who more than most embodied what it meant to be simply Scottish. Her kindness, tenacity, adventurous spirit, sacrifice and faith in God continue to inspire me today, even as she is now in the presence of her Saviour. So I continue this program partly as a tribute to her. You can hear my mother on a previous episode of the show discussing the famous Scottish treat shortbread. That's in part two of our three-part series called Exploring Scottish Cuisine. Find it by scrolling down the episode's page at simplyscottish.com. In a few minutes, we begin our exploration of the city of Dundee. First, helping us set the stage, here's the classic tune The Road and the Miles to Dundee, as sung by Andy Stewart. It's from the Scott Disc record, Andy Stewart's Scotland.
Call winter was howling o'er moor and o'er mountain, and wild was the surge on the dark rolling sea. When just about daybreak I met a young lassie, who asked me the road and the miles to Dundee. Said I, my young lassie, I canna weel tell ye the road or the distance I canna weel gie. But gin ye permit me to gang a wee bitty, I'll show you the road and the miles to Dundee. At once she consented, she gied me her errand. Ne'er a word did us fear what the lassie might be. She appeared like an angel in feature and form as she walked by my side on the road to Dundee. Then she took the gold pin frae the scarf at her bosom. Quo' she, tak ye this in remembrance o' me. Then bravely I bent and I kissed her sweet lips ere I parted wi' her on the road to Dundee. Say, here's to that lassie, I ne'er can forget her. And ilka young laddie was listening to me. Oh, ne'er be a sweer to convoy your young lassie, though it's only to show her the road to Dundee.
On the banks of the River Tay, on Scotland's east coast, about 60 miles from Edinburgh, lies the city of Dundee, Scotland's fourth largest city by population. Originally founded as a seaport trading centre, Dundee became a royal borough in the 13th century. From as early as the 15th century, Dundee's prosperity has been fuelled by the textile industry. A flourishing industry began in Dundee in the early 19th century when it was discovered that raw jute fibres from India could be softened with whale oil and mechanically processed into usable materials. Milled jute could be used for twine, rope, clothes, wood pulp for paper, carpets, sacks, curtains, sailcloth, electrical cables, and more. It was cheap, strong, and breathable. By the turn of the century, Dundee's population had tripled to 161,000, with upwards of 50,000 employed in more than 100 jute mills. The city earned the nickname Jutopolis and was the jute capital of the world for almost a century. But it wasn't to last forever. By the onset of the First World War, the jute barons were beginning to realise that it would be cheaper to process the jute in India, where it was harvested. By 1950, just 39 mills remained in operation, and as the demand for synthetic materials increased, jute production continued to decrease. One mill, the Taybank Works, held out until 1989. Today, the Verdant Works Textile Museum in Dundee tells the story of jute in the city and brings to life the stories of a number of local men, women and children who worked in the industry. It's the last working jute mill in Scotland, and the only place in Britain that visitors can see the full process from raw jute to finished woven cloth. At simplyscottish.com you'll find links related to today's episode, including a link to the Textile Museum. That's at simplyscottish.com. You may have heard of Paddington Bear, the lovable bear from darkest Peru who has endeared children since his introduction in 1958 in books by author Michael Bond. If you know Paddington, you probably know he has a deep love for a particular sweet treat, marmalade. And Dundee holds the distinction of being the place where marmalade was first commercially perfected and manufactured. Marmalade has long been a staple of the British breakfast since its introduction to the British Isles at the end of the 18th century. Before that, it was present in different forms and in different cultures. The name most likely comes from the Portuguese word marmelo, meaning quince, the sweet pear-shaped fruit traditionally used to make it. How did it become synonymous with Dundee? Well, the story goes that a Spanish ship containing boxes of Seville oranges sought safe harbour at the port in Dundee. A Dundee grocer, James Keeler, purchased the oranges, and finding that they were bitter and unsellable, gave them to his wife Janet. Actually, research tells us it may have been his mother. Nevertheless, Janet experimented with the bitter fruit, and produced a form of marmalade that featured the chipped pieces of orange peel we associate with marmalade today. The Keeler family lost no time in setting up a company to manufacture it, and by the end of the 19th century, their unique brand of marmalade was being enjoyed across the United Kingdom and the British Empire. Indeed, Keeler's Dundee marmalade can still be enjoyed today, and is sold in fine stores around the world. If you're interested in further reading about the Keeler family and their marmalade empire, a few little-known short books by Dr. William Matthew of the University of East Anglia will make for great reading. If you can find them, that is. Contact me via simplyscottish.com if you need help. Up next, the journalism that makes Dundee famous. First, here's music from fiddle player Catriona Price and harpist Esther Swift. Together, their 12th day, and the song is called Noise Show.
Silent wings of birds above, silent shrouds. she waits a while, looks out for miles, stand by a five-bar symphony.
Listening to Simply Scottish. The third industry for which Dundee has historically been known is journalism. This comes in the form of DC Thompson, one of the leading media organisations in the UK. Headquartered in Dundee, the company publishes a number of regional newspapers, successful magazines, books, and new media. Originally started through the shipping business of William Thompson in the early 19th century, the company soon branched out into publishing by purchasing the Dundee Courier in 1886. Other newspapers managed by D.C. Thompson include the Aberdeen Press and Journal and the national weekly Sunday Post. Its first magazine, The Dandy, began in 1937, followed shortly by other iconic children's comics, including The Beano and Oor Willie. In 1927, they took over the Scots Magazine, one of the oldest magazines, if not the oldest, in the world still in publication. First published in February 1739, and with an average monthly readership today of more than 250,000, it's the world's best-selling Scottish interest publication. Incidentally, I have the privilege of writing an ongoing series for the Scots Magazine. It's called 6 Degrees of Scotland, and showcases the Scottish roots of prominent people, places and things around the world. You can learn more about the mag at scotsmagazine.com. Dundee today goes well beyond the 3 J's that put it on the map. In recent decades, the city has transformed itself into a hub of commercial, cultural, artistic and scientific pursuits. Visitors flock to Discovery Point on the bank of the River Tay, where you can climb aboard Captain Robert Scott's famous ship, the RRS Discovery, and learn the fascinating story of his heroic voyages of exploration to Antarctica. In 2014, Dundee became the first city in the UK to receive the prestigious UNESCO City of Design Award, given by the United Nations. This recognises the city's contributions to biomedical research, with hundreds of new cancer drugs, as well as media and the creative arts, including innovation in the video game industry. Much of this contribution to design will be documented in a new museum to open in a few years, the Victoria and Albert Museum Dundee, the largest arts and design museum of its kind in the UK outside London. Indeed, Dundee has reinvented itself again and again over the years, making it truly one city, many discoveries. Here's a quick look at just two of Dundee's own ambassadors. Dr. Thomas John McLagan was a Scottish doctor and pharmacologist born in Dundee in 1838. He was a medical superintendent at Dundee Royal Infirmary, where he pioneered the medical use of thermometers. He conducted research into salicin, an extract from willow bark, and demonstrated its anti-rheumatic effects. His work was built on by German researchers, and a synthesized form of salicin became the active ingredient in aspirin. Margaret Fenwick was a mill worker and trade unionist in Dundee from the age of 15. At the same time as raising four kids, she became the first woman general secretary of a British trade union, the Dundee and District Union of Jute, Flax and Kindred Textile Operatives, where she worked to improve health, safety and pay for her fellow workers. Fenwick was awarded an MBE in 2008. In a few minutes, learn how you can become a friend, patron or guardian of Simply Scottish to help us reach new listeners and further our mission. Thank you. That was lovely music from Simon Tomir and Dave Milligan. The piece is called Lady Jane Montagues. If you enjoy the content of Simply Scottish, you might consider becoming a sponsor. I'd like to produce more new episodes and build the show's audience, but I need your help. Currently, there are 3 levels of sponsorship, each inspired by an icon of Scottish culture. The first level is a friend of Simply Scottish. Flora MacDonald's friendship and kindness saved the life of Prince Charles Edward Stuart after his failed attempt to reclaim the British throne for the Jacobites. In the same way, your friendship can secure Simply Scottish. Become a friend for just $10 a month or $120 a year. You'll get a handmade CD edition of your favourite episode, a Simply Scottish magnet, and a sponsors-only quarterly email update. The next level up is patron. Scotland's national bard, Robert Burns, depended on the generosity of patrons and patronesses in Edinburgh and around Scotland. Without them, he may not have produced the masterpieces we celebrate today. Your patronage of Simply Scottish at $50 a month or $600 a year can help me produce and promote dozens of new episodes a year to Scotland lovers just like you. In addition to the benefits of a friend, you'll also receive an album of Scottish music and a call from me to chat about your love for Scotland. The highest level of sponsorship is inspired by none other than William Wallace. After freeing much of Scotland from English occupation and securing victory at Stirling Bridge, William Wallace was knighted and declared the Guardian of Scotland in 1297. This is the highest honour I can bestow on a listener. Guardians of Simply Scottish are essential to the show's future success. Become a guardian at $100 a month or $1,200 a year, and in addition to all the other benefits, I'll produce a custom episode of Simply Scottish on the topic and music of your choice, dedicated to you, your family, or your chosen organisation. You'll also get a taste of my mother's famous Scottish shortbread, now baked with love by my wife Amy and my sister Naruma. Find more details on sponsorship at our website, www.simplyscottish.com. As I mentioned earlier, I always appreciate hearing from listeners, and especially knowing where in the world you're listening to the show from. Reach me by email at andrew@simplyscottish.com, or connect with me and other listeners on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and the Scottish social networking site Kiltr, kiltr.com. We'll close with a song from Deacon Blue, featuring Dundee native Ricky Ross on vocals. From a 2012 deluxe edition of the album Homesick, here's the title track, Homesick. I'm Andrew McDermott. Tune in again soon for your next dose of all things Scottish.
That's me and Daddy at a Luna Beer. Not looking dandy, stepping out Saturday. I can still see the buses line up to take the dancing home. That's me on the stairs.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
These are just some photographs talking. They make it look easy to imagine just walking back into someone's arms. Feeling homesick, homesick, homesick. Maybe you have a question too. You recognize a face and unfamiliar shoes. Don't see a man, just someone broken down. Get up and start walking back out.